This is episode 5 of Taz Racing Kennel Talk, a weekly look at Tasmanian greyhound racing. I'm Matt Reed for tazracing.com.au, joined by greyhound insider Brennan Ryan. And Brennan, hello to you. We've got a bit to cover this week.
Yeah, hello to you too, Matt. It's plenty to get through, and we've got a great lead up heading into the Breeders' Classic this coming Saturday with the qualifying heats, and there's been plenty of action coming out through the three meetings as well. So yeah, we've got plenty to get through.
It's a big week, but we're going to start with the discussion that's sort of popped up in the greyhound fraternity in the last week or so, which is the canine coronavirus. We saw a number of scratchings from the Launceston program on the 29th of June with what was originally labelled a sort of basic virus, but later found out to be a little bit more than that. Tell me, Brennan, what is your understanding of the canine coronavirus, and have any of your dogs experienced it?
Matt, the canine coronavirus, the way I've come across it, we've been very lucky. None of our dogs have come across these symptoms. You'll see that we had 3 greyhounds nominated at Hobart last Thursday, and we pulled them. That was the 2nd of July. We pulled them out just on the precaution that we thought one of our dogs had raced on that Monday meeting had come up with symptoms. We'd notified and got them tested, and thankfully they were clear of it. And look, the way the symptoms come across that you'll see in your greyhound is lethargic. It'll show signs of less appetite, and then there are stages of vomiting and diarrhea. It is a tricky situation, because not only once you get through the recovery period of if a greyhound does contract the coronavirus, they've got to, you've got to obviously self-isolate the dog from your other racing team, and you've just got to, be really careful how you go about it, and you've got to, just take the precautionary steps to treat them. It can take a bit out of them, and there has been cases, all throughout Australia with it, and it's just a matter of, easy steps once they've got through the symptoms of it, and then you've just got to work with their working period, how you exercise them, and then, but it is a, it can be a bit of a scary process.
Absolutely, and I understand that, I guess, a lot of people hear coronavirus these days and alarm bells perhaps rightfully start ringing. The canine coronavirus is obviously different from the human version of the coronavirus, and the two can't be transmitted between each other. But as you explain it, it still does involve, I guess, an isolation period, a shutdown period, and a bit of recovery time for the dogs to bounce back, which I guess is why not only yourself but other trainers are taking a very cautious approach to trying to avoid potentially getting the canine coronavirus.
Well, that's why you'll see that Gary Johnson's team was not in through the Devonport meeting. He took the decision to give them a week off just on the precaution, and they've now nominated. They're in the next meeting at Launceston on the coming Monday meeting, and every trainer is making the right decision, and hopefully we can get through this, because if it's not well watched, it can take effect on the racing stock we have got in the state. But I think we've got through it so far.
Well, it sounds like at this stage we've only had a few kennels impacted, so hopefully we can keep the numbers down, and a cautious approach might be the way to go, and even in the short term we might see some programs not at full capacity just for that reason, where trainers are taking a cautious approach, which seems to be the right one. But as we get back to looking at what has happened on the racetrack, it's been another big week of racing. We start in Hobart, the program on the 2nd of July. The first dog we're going to discuss, Winkley Casey, who won as the $1.40 favourite, a comfortable winner over the 3.40, has now won 5 of his 6 career starts, with the only miss coming on debut back in February.
Yeah, no, it was a great performance on Thursday night for Ted Howard. She's a great little bitch. She's got the customary early speed, good box sense, hit the line, winning by almost 4 lengths, running 19.33. She's a runner that's, if the connections can just keep her, well sound, she's going to be a great little, commodity in the races coming up. And she's going to be a part of Ted Howard's team that are heading towards the Breeders' Classic this Saturday.
Certainly knows how to win, that's for sure. Later in the program, Classy Lady won for the 3rd consecutive Thursday since racing resumed in Tassie. Certainly loving racing in Hobart at the moment.
He's getting through the ranks really well, and the win on Thursday was just full of merit. She won by, again, almost four lengths on the line, running 26.12, which is a great time. She's going to improve. She's only a small bitch, but roughly around about the 25 kilos. So she's, you know, she's going to, she's very tight and compact, and she'll be a great, you know, great connection for Nick Howard. I think both trainer and the owners are very excited, you know, in the months going forward where she'll end up.
And another dog that you highlighted on last week's podcast, so we can't be accused of not giving out a few winners, Mantha Lee, who beat some very well-credentialed greyhounds over 461 metres at a juicy price too. I think the Taz Racing official price was around $9.
Done everything right, had the coveted red box, and, you know, if you can do that in the company, it was mixed against the likes of Mr. Camacho, Connected, Explosive Drums, Like a Prayer, comes around running 26.15, and Graham Moat, who's one of the all-time great trainers we have here in Tasmania. And I think, you know, going forward, it's going to be exciting to see how this greyhound progresses. And look, in a couple of runs, I hopefully can get down running, you know, past the 26-second mark, and it'll give Graham, you know, a lot of joy in the months to come.
So that was Hobart on the 2nd of July. We do have another 10-race program in Hobart on Thursday night, which we'll touch on a little bit later. From Hobart, we went to Launceston on Monday night. A very highly touted debutant in the first race for David Croswell was Highland Chief. Didn't he impress, dashing away to an almost six-length victory over the 278?
A well-bred commodity for the Croswell Kennel. He's by Aston DB, who was a former Melbourne Cup winner, and he's all class. He's has been a great, not only a great producer, but a great greyhound for David. He was a Greyhound of the Year winner and represented Tasmania in the national championships. Unfortunately, she fell on the first corner, but her career still was intact and came back a winner after that fall, went into the breeding barn. And this is her third litter now. And this greyhound was most impressive, but came out under the leads, was a good length in front at the start, and just careered away with a good break into the first corner. And 16.07 is a smart run, and another greyhound to follow heading into the Breeders' Classic Eats on Saturday. And David's got a few in that as well, and this greyhound will be one to watch.
Well, we go from Highland Chief to a greyhound which certainly has a lot more exposed form in Hello Ronda, who won the free-for-all, another dominant winner, and has now won 13 of her 21 starts in Launceston, 4 of 5 over the 278, which was the distance of her win on Monday night.
What else can you say about this bitch? She's a former Launceston Cup winner, and she's a pride of joy for Robin Grubb and both his parents. They bred the litter locally. Out of the three together, there's Hello Lenny, Hello Ronda and Pico Can. They've won 63 races combined, which is a great effort. There was also a double in the litter. Hello Lenny is now with trainer Josh Wright, and it won both from box seven as well. But all efforts with Hello Ronda, it was quite impressive. And to see her, you know, she's rising towards 4 years of age. There's not much in her career left, but Robin will ride her, you know, in the best possible way to keep her, you know, sound, and the breeding barn is where she'll head up when the time comes.
And she's certainly been a superstar of Tasmanian greyhound racing in recent years. And the last runner to look at from the Launceston program was in the following race. Devil's Corner had 7 runs in Victoria during the shutdown in Tassie and has come back with a bang, recording 2 wins from as many starts back in the Apple Isle.
He's in the hands of our premier trainer, Anthony Bullock, and I think the dog grew on confidence coming away from those runs in Melbourne. 30-17 is, you know, is a handy run. Was an upset to the favourite Like a Prayer, who had to come across from box 8. Look, going forward, I think, you know, it's got confidence, this dog, Devil's Corner, and I think, you know, Anthony will put it in the right way, and it'll be a runner to watch out for, because he's run times at Devonport, and he's not a bad dog in Hobart as well. So I'd be keeping an eye on him.
Devil's Corner might be one for the Form Plus Black Book by the sounds of it. We then went to Devonport on Tuesday for just the 8 race program. We already explained earlier why perhaps numbers were down a little bit there in Devonport. In the first race, well, it was a tough program for punters. 3 of the 8 races were won by dogs in double figures, which you don't often see. The first of those was in the opening race, and it was Winkley River at $13.
It was a double. It was a quinella for the litter as well. The end is Mac Winkley Terra litter. Winkley River is trained by Dennis Turner, and this greyhound clocked 25.49, which is a certainly impressive run. why I've highlighted that, both Winkley River and Winkley Hugo as a part of the Ted Howard and Dennis Turner team that are heading towards the Breeders' Classic. Look, there's other runners in that race at Highland Wonder and Vintage Lane. They're going to be greyhounds heading towards the series. And you just see, you indicate what's the, you know, the potential quality coming into this series. And Winkley River, you know, patience had to come and it finally got what it deserved. And I think Dennis Turner would be a very happy man heading into the series on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be getting $13 on the strength of that win. The next two couple of standout performances were a bit later in the program. The Grade 4 was billed as a match race between Amy Cora and Winburn Lethal. Certainly in our previews on tazracing.com.au yesterday, Mike Clark was in the corner of Winburn Lethal. Adam Dobbin was also talking up the chances of Winburn Lethal, but they were unfortunately both wrong. It was Amy Cora who returned to her brilliant best after having her colours lowered at the same track last Tuesday.
Yeah, you'd certainly have to hold a question mark over that run last week, but she was just most impressive, Amy Cora, on Tuesday, clocking 25.46. Look, just a great bitch going forward. Winburn Lethal, look, I'd just keep an eye on her. She's run the time at Sandown and she's got form back here in Tasmania. I think she just needs a couple of runs to turn up where she needs to be, but it was a great contest and good to see Amy Cora get her on top. It was a double also to Debbie Cannon, who also got Siberia clocked in running. A great time on the program running 25.71. He backed up his form from Hobart. And, you know, she's got a great little panel going forward. And I think Amy Cora is, you know, I think is a great candidate for a prospect like a Tasmanian Oaks going forward in October. Good bitches race.
Well, we spoke on last week's podcast about Amy Cora after what was a bit of a strange run in Devonport. You mentioned that the track perhaps doesn't bring out the best in her, and then we see her 7 days later looked a completely different dog. What do you put that down to?
Look, everything had to go her way. She just needs to be left alone because, you know, Devonport's a tight track and she's a bitch that likes to be out in front and, you know, high wheeling. And she got her chance from box two. And look, greyhounds rely on solely on confidence, and that's what she needed there on Tuesday. And when she was left untouched, he just was able to run up to her best.
Certainly extremely impressive in that win there. And in the following race, another dog who's won for the second consecutive start. It feels to me, Brennan, that since racing resumed in Tasmania, we've seen a lot of dogs who really cashed in on their good form and perhaps capitalising on some other dogs building up a bit of fitness. Rusty the Crow was one that won for the second consecutive start and won in really impressive fashion.
He had a previous DB there at Devonport at 25.73. And look, the dog, Roman Stocks, has just been very patient. This dog has trialled good times at tracks where he's gone. And look, he was just ultra impressive off the red box there on Tuesday, coming away running 25.40, won by almost 5 lengths on the line. And he's just, look, he oodles class, this dog, but he's just got to get everything his way. And to see him run that time, I'm sure Roman Stocks came away very positive going forward. And yeah, he's just a great dog, and I'd like to see how he progresses up in grade because he'll be a great, you know, a great chance in some of the feature races coming up.
Yeah, so no shortage of quality performances in the state in the last week. So we look ahead to Hobart tomorrow night. I note the third race is an invitation and sees the return of the promising Sprint Gordon to Tasmania, who was a Sandown winner in early May, and leading up to that, a couple of selections that you like in the first two races, Brennan.
I'm pretty happy with in the first race. I've gone with Fernie for Wayne Williams off box one. Look, there's a bit of money for one of the inside runners there. I've just dropped my bundle there with regards to the form. But I think it's got every chance to get the red draw in this 461 in the opening event. There is a lot of money in the predicted market going for the likes of Minish Woods and Fairy Tale Youth on the outside, but I think this is where its chance will lie if it can come up on the inside and come away with the money, and everything's got it in the favour for the draw to be a winning chance.
So that's race one, number one, Fernie, and then the next race, I think Casino Ace is one that you're keen on.
Look, it hasn't come through for a win yet over 340. It's had two attempts there for a second and a third. Look, the inside draw, Perfect Tracker, is going to be hard to toss, but I think Casino Wax, it just needs to break well and come through. It's got the chance to do what it needs to do. I'd keep an eye on it going forward. And look, it should be a good price runner in the market. And then, look, if people think it's a bit risky, I'd put it in an each way chance because he's just a greyhound. I think Perfect Tracker can't get away from it. I think Casino Ace will be a great chance in the race.
So a couple for us to back tomorrow night. Race 1, number 1, Fernie. Race 2, number 4, Casino Ace. Just quickly, I did touch on the invitation tomorrow night, Brennan. Spring Gordon, of course, is a dog that is returning to the state from Victoria. In your experience with greyhounds that do travel interstate, do they generally take benefit from the runs that perhaps are in harder company in Victoria, or do you find that a lot of those races may even be similar to the quality that they face in Tassie?
The city class over there in Victoria, Matt, is a bit of a different league to what we have here in Tasmania. Look, our local form backs up because we've got the experience on the track when the interstate dogs come over for our races. But Spring Gordon, I think, will grow on that because he has been a great dog for Blake Purcell, and the form he's picked up, he got a win over there when he raced at Sandown. And I'd like to see how he goes forward because I think this will be a good indication on where he is in ability, because he's going to be he's always shown ability in his class, and I think he's going to be a great runner heading forward, but he's going to have plenty of confidence, and Blake Purcell would be very satisfied heading into the race, no doubt.
Yeah, he's run into a reasonably hot field on his return, Ted Medhurst, with 4 runners in that race. The Hobart track will be getting a pretty good workout this week. Saturday, the 11th of July, we've got 16 heats for the Breeders' Classic in Hobart. Just explain to us a little bit about that format and some of the better dogs we can expect to see step out on Saturday.
The Breeders' Classic heats is conducted under a non-DAB system where they race for non-prize money. What happens is they'll run around and qualify with a limited number of runners in all their teams. The majority of these dogs will go through to the final and through to the semi, sorry. And looking at it, just on the early outset, Ted Medhurst has got a few debutants in the race. There's no form indicated. There's unofficial trial form to these dogs, but knowing Ted, he wouldn't nominate these dogs for no reason. He's got a few in the likes of Inquest in the first heat, and then going further down, he's got another one called Blesser in race 4, and then there's a few others out there in the throughout the heats that'll be runners to follow, because Ted, he can school a dog very well, and when they come to Hobart, it's a track that he's very well associated with his record of strike rate to winners there, and I'd be watching them for sure. And there's other runners in there in the likes of Winkley Casey, as we touched on. Winkley River was a winner at Devonport, plus Highland Chief for David Croswell. And this is a series that always produces good dogs, but it gives them an opportunity to grow a bit more confidence with the shorter amount of fields sizes. And then they go into the semis about a week and a half later, and then they'll go into a final. And the money's great for incentive for Tasbred, because it gives them a lot of the owners and the breeders, benefit, because it's a reward in return, and a lot of trainers try and strike the series. And look, if you can come away with it, it's a great rewarding feeling, that the effort you put in with the breeding, and this is the result of a Breeders' Classic. And we've had great success trying out the Launceston division, and the Hobart series is always a great testing series, and the track is there's no better track in Australia to test out a pup, especially around Hobart.
Well, replays of all of those heats will, of course, be available on tasracing.com.au. So non-TAB meeting for the Breeders' Classic heats on Saturday. But, of course, watch the replays and find a few to follow when they do step out in the semis about a week and a half later. Your dogs at the moment aren't nominated for anything. When can we expect to see them back on the track?
Looking toward the three greyhounds that we'll have nominated, the majority of our kennel will be started to nominate around the 20th of July. We have got 3 runners. We'll head towards the heat to the Chain Yanks Memorial Cup. We're just you know, with the precautions of what the canine coronavirus is happening at the moment, we've just taken a self-voluntary, set up where we're not nominating. We are going to trial, but we're just trying to keep them away from any other dogs in contact, and we're just trying to do the right thing, and everything's gone well so far. And, yeah, they'll no doubt, you'll see them nominated for the heats on the 20th of July at Launceston.
Perfect. We look forward to seeing them back on the track. We've covered a lot here from the canine coronavirus and the last week of racing. A couple of winners for us to follow tomorrow night in Hobart, and then we've got the Breeders' Classic heats on Saturday. Brennan, as always, really appreciate your insight and look forward to chatting again next week.
Yeah, same too, Matt. And we look forward to looking at their Breeders' heats and how they play out.